Progressive rock legends Yes are back with an extensive UK and European tour in 2016, and they'll be performing 1971's Fragile and 1980's Drama albums in their entirety, the latter for the very first time, plus other seminal tracks including Owner of a Lonely Heart and Starship Trooper. UK days start in Glasgow on April the 27th and end at London's Royal Albert Hall on May the 10th, with a stop at Sheffield City Hall on Tuesday, May the 3rd. There'll be full details on our websites. My name's Graham Walker, and to tell us all about it and his amazing career, I'm honoured today to be talking to drummer and rock icon Alan White, who played on John Lennon's Imagine, was a member of the Plastic Ono band, appeared on over 50 albums with artists also including George Harrison and Joe Cocker. What a claim to fame. So, Alan, how's life these days?
Life is wonderful. I'm sitting here in Seattle, Washington. It's a blue sky, a wonderful sunny day, and about 60 degrees today, so it's a very, very nice spring day out there.
So it's a little bit different from Ferry Hill in County Durham, where you began life.
Slightly bit different, that grey, miserable kind of mist that keeps going around. I think that place is attracted by it.
You'll be telling me you miss it next.
Well, to some degree I do, but I live in Seattle, so we do get days that are somewhat like that, a bit of fog around, man. But I live on a lake, so near Seattle, so we get a bit of fog coming in, but I've got a boat and all that kind of stuff. I do a lot of boating and have fun here.
Well, it sounds like you're having a great time, but obviously you're coming home for the tour, and I want you to tell me about this fantastic tour you've got planned and what fans can expect.
All of us are doing our homework frantically here. We haven't played John, but there's about two tracks on there that we definitely haven't played for about 30 years. So we're all kind of scratching our heads saying, why the hell did we do this? But it's a very challenging piece of music to replay to 30 years later, I guess. But we're getting on top of it.
Well, do you know what? I've got to remind everybody that Yes was formed back in 1968, almost 50 years ago.
Yeah, the original band was 68.
Yeah, and you've been there for just 44 years of it.
Well, that was 1972, so in July it would be 44 years, which scares the hell out of me, playing with the same people for that long.
Well, you were there for all the top-selling albums, including, I've got to say, the band's first number one, which was 1973's Tales from Topographic Oceans, and then you're on Relayer and Going for the One,
yeah.
Tomato, Drama, Union. You've done all that kind of stuff. I just wondered, looking at the tour, you've actually decided to play in its entirety two particular albums.
No, the last two we did Fragile and another album, but and then we did another two where we did the whole of Close to the Edge and something else. So. In fact, about three or four tours ago, we did three albums in a row, and that was a pretty taxing stage set for all of us, but we got through it. So now we thought, listening time for an audience is usually, two albums and a few of the kind of well-known songs that we've done that people like to hear on stage, so that's where we're settling up this time.
Obviously, the tour comes just months after the tragic death by leukemia of co-founder Chris Squire, who was only 67. Did he know about plans for this tour, and what would he have made of it?
It was kind of a surprise to us. He had been ailing in a few different kinds of ways recently, but he seemed pretty fit, was doing all the stage work, going on tour as usual, and then all of a sudden this kind of came into the picture, the leukemia, which is, is a dreadful form of cancer, and I used to talk to him when he first got diagnosed, and he said, just give me 6 weeks and I'll get rid of this and I'll be back on the road. I said, Chris, you're not going to be going on the road for a year, even if you eat this thing. It takes a hell of a lot out of your system. And anyhow, he was very positive all the time. about most of the time, and then as it happens, they were on the way to beating leukemia, and I think they'd kind of beaten it, but his heart gave out, and then
it
was really hard to lose somebody you've been playing with for 44 years, you know, 43 years. We've been playing continually, it's a bit of a, you know, a bit of a blow because, you know, Billy Sherwood's doing a great job of replacing Chris in the band.
How well does he deal with that? And can you tell us a little bit more about who the other members of the band are?
Billy fills his shoes real well. I mean, Chris was his mentor kind of all through his growing up stages in life, so he learned how to play most of Chris's licks on the guitar and most of his vocal parts, as his career went on. And they were good friends, too. They knew each other pretty well. In fact, I was in a band with Chris and Billy called Conspiracy. And we did a couple of albums and stuff like that. And it was great stuff. I'll admit though it's not the same, but at the same time it's the band was playing damn good.
Well, I've got to say, obviously the other co-founder, of course, was John Anderson, and I know he's been in and out of Yes, but not been in it for about 12 years. And of course, Rick Wakeman, also a huge part of the band's history. Do you still talk to those guys? Could they ever be part of Yes again?
On occasion, he always calls me on my birthday, call him on his birthday, and that kind of stuff. John gets on with it. He's doing something with John LaPonte right now, I think. But you know, he does different experiments all the time, John.
Do you ever expect that him and Rick could become part of Yes again, or is that history for them now?
Well, you know, Rick, I haven't seen him for an awful long time. I'd like to see him again, because we used to get on real well in the band, and like, honestly, he's like a stand-up comedian all the time. Well, you know, I wouldn't rule it out the picture, let's put it that way, but I think John doesn't want to do his long, arduous tours anymore, but if it was, it'd be a kind of cameo appearance at some bigger venues like London or the Albert Hall or Los Angeles or New York or something like that.
Well, I'm sure you've whetted all the appetites of Yes fans now, Alan, by saying that. As I mentioned earlier, you've worked with some of the huge names, and none bigger than Beatle, John Lennon, and of course George Harrison. But you were working with the Alan Price set in the 60s, and then in 1969, I've told you, you got a call that changed your life.
I've got the Alan Price set now. I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot about the business by traveling around England in a van, playing with Alan Price, playing Simon Smith and the Amazing Dancing Bear.
But tell me, Alan, tell me though, when you got that call in 1969 from John Lennon, you thought it was a prankster, didn't you? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I had my own band. We lived in Wembley, London, and we were doing pretty well. We made money playing in London clubs and doing the odd gig up in, around England. So we weren't making a band, but we were pretty broke most of the time. So we all lived in one house, and I was cooking a stew for everybody just to keep everybody alive for a while. And I got a call, and it was a Sunday morning, I believe. And I thought it was a friend of mine saying, "Hey, it's Jim Lennon. I saw you playing the other night. I wanted you to come and do a gig." And I said, "Get out of here," and I put the phone down on him. And then 10 minutes later, it rings again, and it said, no, this is John Lennon. I'm calling you from Apple." He said, "I saw you playing when you do a gig. Are you up for it?" And I said, "Well, of course. And the next day, I jumped in a limo, went to the airport, and there I was in the VIP lounge at London Heathrow with John and Yoko and Klaus Fuhrmann, and tell you, Eric Clapton playing guitar, and then Eric Clapton walked out of the bathroom. So I was kind of thrown in the deep end, as it were, and then just got into it, and, you know.
Amazing.
Took the bull by the horns and heads down, see after the show kind of thing.
Well, he actually asked you to join him on the Plastic Ono Band, didn't he, for the show that became the hit album, Live Peace in Toronto in 1969.
That's what Live Peace in Toronto is, and actually, if you listen to that, there's one part where John says, well, we've never played together before, and which is absolutely true. We had never actually played together before we went on stage.
Amazing. Am I right in saying that you also performed with Lennon on the Imagine album and the single?
Yeah, and well, I did the Instant Karma as well. I got a call for Instant Karma. He said, I wrote a song last night, I want to record it this afternoon, and I want to release it next week. And I went, oh, okay. So that's how quickly that song came about. And then, with Imagine, he just asked me to do the sessions, and I went there, and as it happened, I was in the studio, and I played out Imagine and Jealous Guy and all of those tracks, really. There's only a couple of tracks I didn't play on.
Amazing.
And then George was hanging around at the same time, and he had me come and join him on... And I played on My Sweet Lord and, at least about two-thirds of that album.
Wow. What? Just reflecting on Imagine, I mean, it's obviously one of the greatest songs of all time. What do you remember about that recording, and what was it like being in the studio with Lennon?
It was great. It was no pressure. And, one of the main things that I always remember is the fact that John made you read the lyrics to every song you recorded with him before you played on it. And he'd say, look, this is what you're going to say to the world if you play on this song, and you don't have to do it if you don't agree with it. But, you read the words to Imagine, and it just makes you stop in your tracks.
Oh, just beautiful.
It's fantastic.
Did you realise at the time, Alan, it were going to be, a global smash that was going to be with us forever?
No, you know what, I was only 20 years old when I did that stuff, and quite frankly, I was just taking it all in my stride, thinking, well, I guess this is what happens in the music business. You just make it from one level to the next, and just keep moving on and do different things. So I never thought anything of it at the time, all that stuff with George Harrison and John. A lot of great memories in my head that eventually will come out in the book, which I've had numerous offers to write, but it's one of those things that it's all in my mind, a lot of it, but
yeah.
I will tell the whole full story some days, but it's really hard. But only about 10 years later, I kind of looked back at what I'd done in my career, and I went, wow, did I really do that, So, kind of interesting.
Amazing. I mean, people like John Lennon and George Harrison, we all know the names, they're so famous, we feel like we know them. But you actually spent time with these people. What were they really like?
I spent quite a bit of time. I got to know John and George pretty well. In fact, John was kind of like, he was a bit older than I was. He was 7, 8 years older than me or something like that. 7 years older than me, something like that. And he kind of thought I was a young little drummer. That he kind of took me under his wing and kind of was like to have me around and just use me. And he enjoyed what I remember one of the quotes he used to say. He said, Alan, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. It's perfect.
Brilliant.
And that's what I did.
You've kept on doing it, Alan, and if you don't mind me telling people, you're actually 66 years young these days, but like the Rolling Stones, they're going on forever. Have you any plans to hang up your drumsticks and retire, or are you going to go on?
I don't think they'll let us musicians retire. I've got people saying, when you retire, you've got enough money and all this kind of stuff. And I'll go, they won't let me. And besides that fact, I don't think any of us would know what we would do if we weren't playing music. So it's just an ongoing career.
Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Alan. Thank you ever so much for your time. I'm just going to remind everybody that the UK tour's in April and May. All the dates will be on our website.
Yeah, that good old hall. What's the name? The Montford Hall, isn't it? No.
It's the City Hall in Sheffield.
City Hall in Sheffield. Yeah, I know we're going to visit some of those places again. And I'm looking forward because they've got a lot of character.
You must have a lot of special memories about Sheffield, but I guess you've played here many times.
Sheffield I do because, Cocker came from there.
Absolutely.
And I was always reminded of that when I was playing with Joe Cocker. He was such a lovely guy. He became a really, really good friend and really a magic person in the Southwestern world. I'm looking forward to coming back there. You know, there's some friends of mine from the Northeast. They like to come down to Sheffield to watch the band.
Alan, thank you for talking to us.
It's an absolute pleasure, and I'm looking forward to coming to Sheffield.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Ta-da now.